The Haines School Board accepts a music teacher's resignation despite community opposition, and consultants move forward with Skagway port planning. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Dozens of children and adults made an emotional plea to the Haines School Board Wednesday night. Don't let music teacher Jason Messino go. School administrators want to cut Messino's position to save money amid declining enrollment and shrinking budgets. The school board ultimately voted 5-2 to accept Messino's resignation. Messino turned in his letter of resignation after being told his position would get eliminated in the upcoming school year. The 5th through 12th grade music teacher has been at the school for 2 years. The impression he's made in that time showed at Wednesday's meeting.
Taking away Mr. Messino, that would be kind of like heartbreaking to all of us.
7th grader Trigvi Backey is one of Messino's students. So is Haley Boron, who said Messino has pushed the music program to a higher level. She said some of her friends have told her that without Messino, they might give up band.
It terrifies me and other people to think that some very talented musicians are willing to let go what they love, what our school loves and what the town loves, because, like, people tear up at our concerts. They love us. We have such a great reputation.
Penny Fossman urged the board to look at other options for cutting the budget.
I think that I speak for everybody who's here, that we as a community value music and we don't want to see cuts made to our program.
The question on the table for the school board was whether to accept Messino's resignation. In his resignation letter, Messino makes it clear that he did not want to give up his position. He writes that he decided to resign after learning his job would be cut due to the budget situation.
This is one of the most difficult things administrators have to do.
Superintendent Tony Habra is going through his first budget cycle at Haines School.
I know that you care about Jason. I care about Jason. But that's not what this is about. This is about making the best choices for all of the students here and maintaining fiscally responsible choices.
The school district is facing a $360,000 budget deficit and needs to save money somehow. Habra says eliminating Messino's position will save about $90,000. Here's board member Sarah Chapel.
This is the stuff, right, we've been talking about for the last several years. Like, now eventually we're going to have to make tough decisions, and apparently we're there.
Habra promised that the music program will not be diminished, despite the cut. Administrators plan to have an existing teacher take on music classes. Habra says that means some less popular classes will be dropped to make room in that teacher's schedule. School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri reiterated that the music program is not going away.
So one of the things that the board has always said is we want to retain a high-quality music program, and that's the direction that we've given to the administration. And, we've come to a point where we're talking about a position, not a person.
The board voted 5-2 to accept Messino's resignation. Brian Clay and Lisa Schwartz were opposed. Later in the meeting, the board talked about how the process to get to this point could have been more transparent. Habra did hold meetings earlier this year to hear from the public about what budget cuts they would be okay with. Hardly anyone showed up. But Habra did not indicate at the time that the music teacher was on the chopping block. Pam Long regularly attends school board meetings, including Habra's budget meetings.
To me personally, it did feel a little bit like I was trying to be involved and informed, and then this thing happened while I turned away.
What the music program will look like without Messino may be more clear early next week. Habra says at that time, the administration will be ready to announce who will take over next year's music classes. But many parents and students say Messino will be hard to replace. Haynes would face a $450,000 loss in funding if a proposal to cut the state's share of school debt reimbursement is approved by the Alaska legislature. The Haynes Borough has taken out about $18.5 million in bonds to pay for a new school and renovations. The local expense of the bond was eased by an agreement with the state. The state takes care of 70% of the yearly payments, and the borough pays for 30%. Haynes is just one of many municipalities that have this type of arrangement with the state to pay for construction and renovation of schools. Homer Representative Paul Seaton is co-chair of the House Finance Committee. He proposed cutting the state payments by about half. In Haynes, that would mean a $450,000 loss in the upcoming fiscal year. Here's interim borough manager Brad Ryan.
I think we're going to have to look really hard at what services that could impact, or if we would increase the mill rate. We'd have to make some really hard decisions.
Last year, Governor Bill Walker vetoed a quarter of school debt payments. It caused a $225,000 loss for Haynes. Chief Fiscal Officer Gila Stewart said the borough drew from its general fund balance to make up the difference. The House Finance Committee is taking public testimony on its draft operating budget proposal this weekend. How can Skagway preserve its past while making room for growing industries? That was the focus of a second meeting between the community and port consultants hired to help move planning forward. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
Consultants from Moffitt and Nickel were hired last year to help move forward stalled port planning. In 2015, voters rejected a tidelands lease between the borough and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. Right now, the municipality doesn't have access to some areas of the port they were planning to renovate. At Moffitt and Nichols' second public meeting, the discussion centered around challenges, opportunities, and ongoing conversations with stakeholders.
I like to talk about memory and prophecy.
That's Scott Legur with Moffitt and Nichols. He's the lead waterfront planner for the Skagway project.
How do you sort of keep a foot in the past and celebrate that, but also sort of look forward and adjust to market conditions, look forward to sort of, you know, what the next generation wants this community to be?
The cruise ship industry is growing fast, said Legur. Does Skagway want to make room for it?
So there's a lot of pressure on new destinations, new cruising regions, but also within the bedrock of the industry, places like Alaska, there's pressure to be able to take these newer, more exciting vessels and to welcome them.
Sean McFarlane is the project manager and team leader. He said Skagway could see a decrease in business if it doesn't grow alongside other destinations in the region which are preparing for bigger ships.
You're kind of in lockstep with these other communities, and if Ketchikan, elects to move forward and grow to accommodate, Juneau elects to move forward and accommodate, and Skagway does not, well, as Scott pointed out, where do those ships come?
With that growth comes obstacles. Jamie Bricker with White Pass talked about the challenges of congestion at the waterfront.
Mainly I'm concerned with the people that aren't trying to walk into town or being picked up for a tour or by city transit. And there's not enough room at the head of most of the docks for parking while they're waiting to hook up with their party or their tour. There's not enough turnaround space.
Other challenges raised include travel to and from town and how visitors can easily get confused. The consultants also discussed legacy contamination at the ore dock and the ferry dock's location in the middle of the port. McFarlane brought up another stakeholder, the mining industry. But he said where that will go in the future is not as easy to predict as the cruise industry. With these factors in mind, McFarlane and Legur presented 9 draft alternatives for port renovations. They range from doing nothing to redeveloping or replacing much of the port infrastructure to developing new floats along the present rail dock or extending it. They also proposed options that involve a new Alaska Marine Highway float and redeveloping the city dock. One question that wasn't a big topic of conversation at this meeting is access. That's what stopped the municipality from making improvements as planned. There's currently no arrangement with White Pass to work in the areas that the railroad leases. Moffitt and Nickel is talking to White Pass and other stakeholders at the waterfront as part of their process to come up with a plan for the port. There are a few key things they're keeping in mind as they move forward. Cleaning up ore basin contamination, separating tourism and industrial activities, and fostering year-round economic growth. The designers will narrow down the alternatives and be back in town for another public meeting at the end of April. They plan to wrap up the first phase of planning at the end of June. Reporting in Skagway, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.